Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Buddy, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, keeping it topical with topical shows that are topical to movies that are coming out, and we're applying hair products topically. That's right. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Rogaine Stakanis?
Yeah, you know, I started that minoxidil treatment from the Hims brand, and I'm waiting for my hair to grow back to high school levels again. By that, I mean full mullet.
I still have a full head of hair. Feeling pretty good about that.
Oh, I'm jealous. Don't get me wrong.
Steer into late life, let's call that. Let's call it. So I feel like it's already too late for a midlife crisis for me.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you live to 100.
That's not going to happen. I'm going to be, if I make 62, I feel like I'll be doing pretty good.
62? You're going to need to go be 62 just to finish this podcast.
Also, you shouldn't have had kids when you were 61 then.
I mean, you're not wrong. Well,
here's the thing. I had plenty of childless life to whoop it up. And, you know.
Did you actually whoop it up, though?
There was some whooping, mostly in the 20s. By the 30s, the whooping had died.
I feel like
down.
I wasted most of my whooping up time. Not that anybody was wanting to whoop it up with me, but.
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it? When you're young, you have the energy to whoop. And no one to whoop with. And then by the time you stop being just an insufferable narcissistic asshole and you're
right, that was it. Like, no, 40. It was deserved.
I earned it. You came to some of my earliest pool parties.
True that.
So that was that was you were whooping it up then, I'm sure.
I got laid zero times. I assume that's what those pool parties are for.
Just for me.
Okay. Well, I should have had more pool parties than I guess. That was my mistake.
Anyway, who are you people?
Did you not? Okay. You jumped in and my rhythm got all messed up. I was like, oh, so I guess we'll see how this goes. Yes, my mental rhythm.
How are you going to talk over him saying his own name? Talking about narcissistic.
Now it's a bit.
And I'm TV's Gina Ippolito.
Hey, I just started to talk and then you talked over me.
Mm-hmm. Gina never picks the episode. She never takes the initiative to pick the episodes. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited when Gina says, I got one, guys, and it's topical. Beetlejuice the cartoon. episode 2 from season 1. This is the big face-off slash skeletons in the closet. That's right. We got 2 9-minute bangers knocked together, and I had trouble following the through line of this cartoon.
I am honestly surprised because there was no through line. So
maybe that's my problem.
Oh, okay. I see. I was going to say, I mean, I saw a very distinct beginning, middle, and end.
I mean, there's a through line, and it is like the title of each segment. So I don't know what more you're looking for.
I think it's more so as being somebody who has watched and enjoyed. And when I was very young, when I was probably like 11, 12 years old, I was terrified of Beetlejuice. I don't know if I talked about this on the show before.
God, and you guys are such pussies.
Too scary for me. I didn't want to see it. Didn't understand it was a comedy. And so I saw it much later in life and loved it. I love it now. It's great. I like horror movies. I like weird shit now. Can I say that? Me and Gina went to go see a horror movie together.
Hell
great.
Yeah. It was great.
It was a blast. I probably annoyed Gina and everyone else in the theater with my constant reacting to everything, but I have a good time.
I think there were 3 other people in that theater. Let's be real.
That's fair.
It was great. I'll see a horror movie anytime, any day, anytime. Also, like, the hype for Beetlejuice right now is real. Like, there's a dude on Twitter. I don't know if he's like an OG artist, but he's been posting a lot of animated Beetlejuice art. And sorry, there's a ghost in my apartment, I think.
Oh, great.
but yeah, the movie, when we are recording this, Beetlejuice comes out in this same week, but also they just dropped all these Beetlejuice animated episodes on Tubi. I used to watch the crap out of this show. I loved it. And also revisiting it, it must have been a real fun show to work on because there are elements of this that remind me of like if it was an animated Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Because we've watched this show before.
We have watched Beetlejuice before, yes.
If memory serves, we're all like pretty high on it. Like this is a pretty good cartoon. This time around, I don't know if it was the cartoon or it was me. But I was like, well, this is not great.
I also agree, Jan. I was worried I would be alone on this. I thought this was bad television.
It was you guys. It's you guys. You're old grumps now who hate everything because your children have sucked the life out of you like little mini succubis.
I believe it would be an incubi for a male. Child of mine is male. Also, succubi, doesn't that involve some sort of sexual activity there?
Not always. I don't think so.
I feel
a great
like,
word though.
It's right in the name. So
it's right there. I know Beetlejuice is what I was trying to get to with my original point before I derailed myself and you correctly stepped in. But I know Beetlejuice. I understand these are adversarial characters. Where's the bridge that explains how we got to this?
Okay,
Lydia and Beetlejuice are now friends.
Your problem is with the whole concept of the show itself. Is that
I was
your
trying
problem?
To make sense of everyone's relationships and what exactly is this world?
Okay,
because
then,
especially
then
the second episode,
you
or no,
are
the first
the
episode
here.
With the game show. Like, what is this world?
You let's, are the idiot here.
Let's begin at the beginning. Why and when did Beetlejuice and Lydia start fucking?
That's a great question. They are clearly a bangable couple.
Yes.
She's 14 on the show. Uh-huh.
Makes it grosser.
Also, yeah, he's a demon monster from the hell dimension.
Don't you care think about that, like, I guess.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. This seems statutory. I guess I better not do that.
We have watched this before. So the fact that you are now confused about it is supposed to be a separate entity from the movie, just like a million other shows that we have watched. Like the Fonzie on Happy Days didn't really have a cool fucking talking dog, Ray.
Oh, bullshit, he didn't have a cool fucking talking dog. He just didn't bring it out for Happy Days. And I agree.
I think if you go back and listen to the old episodes, you'll find that I especially hate the ones that are based on cartoons or other TV shows or movie properties that then have a separate canon to them. So this is very much in keeping with my thing.
But this is because we've discussed this before, and there was a period of time, mostly like the 70s and 80s, but also some of the 90s, where the whole thing was taking adult shows and turning them into cartoons. So like,
he's watched a lot of them.
Like always Mork and Mindy, and that's what this is. This is or taking Rambo. An adult. Yeah,
RoboCop,
exactly.
RoboCop, Rambo. There's a ton of crazy ideas.
These are terrible ideas. All of them.
This is the same as that, except it's a better idea because it's tailor made for like clearly they can't have it just be Lydia fighting Beetlejuice. So they paired them up as best friends.
Yeah, definitely. Because there's never been a cartoon where two opposing characters fought the entire time and were successful in any way.
Name a kid's cartoon where that is.
Jerry.
That was the Donkey Kong cartoon that we watched without you.
But both of these characters you're supposed to like. Like the Beetlejuice character was such a huge hit.
Mm-hmm. But he's a scumbag. Like he is truly awful, and we are supposed to love to hate him.
We do not want
him to succeed.
You see too much of yourself in this character who is stinky and rude and eats disgusting things.
Look, I'm not going to say that when he tried to eat that bug, I immediately was like, he's now tunnel rat to me. And maybe that did affect me more than it should have.
And we are living in a post-tunnel rat era now that we have to contend with.
We have one more. We got one more, Chan. We're not done yet. We got a big bang up for the last one, though.
Also, I don't know if anyone looked up who voices these characters, but Lydia here is played by Allison Court, voice of the original Jubilee.
Okay, holds up.
In X-Men.
Who did the voice of Beetlejuice? Because it sounded so familiar, but I couldn't place it.
That is Michael Keaton. So both of them are Canadian, as is the case with a lot of animation, a lot of Canadian.
Dave Coulier.
Yes, it's Dave Coulier. His name is Stephen Umet.
Umami?
Umet.
Is he the sixth?
O-U-I-M-E-T-T-E. How would you guys pronounce that?
I would omit answering that question.
Oh my God. Kill me.
Ooh, Matt.
Yeah, you loved that, Chan. Don't you even try.
He was also an X-Men voice actor. He did Warren Worthington III, who was also / Archangel. He was also the voice of Phalanx. Yeah, a lot of Canadians in that X-Men series because they were cheaper. They were cheaper then.
It was good. I thought the voice acting was perfectly good. Honestly, I liked the voice acting in this.
Yeah, they're both great. Allison Court is great.
I had a difficult time also just understanding their relationship, understanding this world. Like, where exactly does he go? Because before in the Beetlejuice movie, he goes to that like play set, right? Where there's like a little like miniature setup and he has to go live there.
No, that is not. Oh my God. You misunderstand the original Beetlejuice.
When they say his name three times, that's where he gets shrunken and he goes back there.
I need you to switch to my side now because Ray has proven himself so inept at understanding things that I can't have this.
Like I said, I am disposed to be against this cartoon. Inexplicably, I was for it the last time. So you're going to have to give me some solid reasoning here because this time around, like the first thing was just a game show that was just a series of gross out things.
You're telling me
because it's a cartoon, it's even particularly gross.
You're telling me that if you played a gross out cartoon game show for Egon, he wouldn't find it fantastic.
Oh, he'd lose his mind. I am not 6 years old.
It's made for kids, but it's got a little bit of an edge. And also, there's a lot of cool things in the animation in this.
there was,
I liked some of the stuff. They were some of like the fourth wall breaking stuff or whatever, but like whose house are they living in? Because like, it's not the same house, but Lydia's parents don't even know about his existence.
You are and so he also hung lives up there? On the movie. This is its own thing. Just like every other cartoon we watch that has been based on a movie. So why is this hard like, for you to understand?
Her dad looks right at Beetlejuice while he's got this giant head and he's trying to make this scary face. And he's like, guess I'm having a dream.
Wait,
and,
so and when I'm, you watch the real Ghostbusters, are you confused about why Slimer is friends with the Ghostbusters and helps
honest,
them on their mission?
Time, back in the 90s, that pissed me off.
So you're so now you're just dumb and have the mind of a child and can't wrap your mind around it.
I like consistency in my source material.
Look, I do not have a problem with Slimer and them being friends. Also, there was a whole episode where they did the backstory and like how he became friends with them. So yeah. I'm very cool with that. This, again, I don't have a huge problem with them working together. And if you showed me an episode where like this is how they ended up on the same side, I would probably be okay with it. But there's something about the relationship that says to me that they are closer than roommates. in the second episode, he says that she's his best friend, but there's not a lot of showing that to be the case, which then leaves me thinking that like, oh, they're just like they've been having sex for a couple of years now, and things are just kind of like they've settled into a groove. And
Jan,
you know, like,
you're doing okay what you're but. Doing what right wing people do, and taking any relationship and assuming grooming and sex.
No, look, I assume the same thing. They really have a relationship akin to Drake and Eleven from Stranger Things, and I felt it very uncomfortable.
My name is Millie Bobby Brown, please.
Oh, his name isn't really Drake Chan, but you didn't seem to correct me on that.
What is his name?
I don't know. It's probably Drake. I just like wanted to come back at you with something.
Gobblebombs or something. I don't know. It feels what's a good Canadian name?
Aubrey Graham.
Aumet.
Aumet with two T's. I guess his middle name is technically Drake, but that's not my point.
Aubrey Graham. Okay.
Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be sexist.
I try not to be.
I like it when people say, this is sexist because there's a woman in it. What is wrong with these people online? Oh, if they don't want men to watch, they shouldn't have put anything but white men in it. I'm a centrist. I just have my audience.
Oh, boy, this is only going to get worse the closer we get to November, isn't it?
Oh, my God, every day. Look, I had a coworker who presented me with a deeply right-wing pop culture video game channel from a guy who is a classic scumbag, like a guy, if you don't know him, don't look it up, but a guy called The Quartering. A lot of you just went, oh, fuck. Yes, that guy, one of my coworkers, like, you got to check out this great video, some good opinions on it. I go, I'm not going to watch that shit. And he's like, why? I go, because he's a misogynist, racist piece of garbage who has 900 different ways to get to the same conclusion of women bad. And he goes, well, I think he's a centrist. And he says, I think that you need to watch this. And I go, what makes you think he's sexist? And I go, his entire channel and every video he's ever made. What do you mean? Where's the evidence? Like, anyway.
I mean, he's a centrist because he also does drugs. So.
Yeah, maybe. I don't, this dude, anyway. I couldn't believe it. Like, I was just like, dude, this is a well-known piece of shit. He got himself kicked off the Magic the Gathering tour because he was harassing women too much.
And that's the Magic the Gathering tour.
You know what I'm saying? There's a certain amount of harassment expected. But when you, it's like doing so many drugs, you get kicked out of Motley Crue.
That's a lot of drugs.
It's a lot of drugs. It's a lot of harassment.
I think the point here is, defend the pedophilia, Gina.
Yeah, miss. No, I love
I'm emotionally checked out now.
So I do have a question. Is her dad supposed to be Chris Griffin from Family Guy? All grown up.
I mean, he is the sort of cartoon. If you boiled down early Alec Baldwin to his essence, it's basically that guy. Because like this is before he became
the Shadow.
Yes, pre the Shadow. Like in Beetlejuice, he was just like a nebbishy, like just sweet kind of dopey guy.
Him and Gina, Gina Davis. Were magical in that movie because they were so understated.
First of all,
when they're being ridiculous.
First of all, those were not Lydia's parents in the movie. I'm my brain is about to explode right now.
No, wait, why was she living there then? I know they weren't her parents. Why was she living there? Her parents?
You're talking about in the movie? You're talking about Catherine O'Hara, Alec Baldwin. Isn't that her mom? You just said Alec Baldwin Gina Davis. Right.
No, they're the dead people. I'm talking about, weren't her parents in the movie and aware of the ghosts?
No, it was the actual pedophile who was her dad.
Yes, Chan.
Oh, no, Jeffrey Jones, that's Gina, right.
Yeah. Defend the pedophilia. Defend your love for people who...
No,
who
in that case, children. You should be on Beetlejuice's side. He was the one who was trying to put a stop to that pedophile.
See, that's all I'm asking. I'm just asking you to give me reasons to come to your side. I'm on your side now, Tina.
Yes.
Except not here. So her parents are different people. So you see why I'm confused?
What do you mean her parents are different people?
That wasn't Jeffrey Jones, and Jeffrey Jones knew about the ghosts. He was excited by them. In the movie that this is based on.
I can't continue to explain to you how a child's cartoon works. I my brain is
It's really
is
the
melting.
Premise of the show, Gina.
Listen, didn't even play any of the opening of this, but it's a fucking great opening. The artwork is great. The song is great. Danny Elfman.
Also
did the arrangement for this, which is not the same as the movie. Tim Burton was an executive producer on this. That's why it's a little bit weird. But can we play a little bit of that theme song?
I did make a note that I enjoyed this intro, even though, you know, like it doesn't have words, which is my usual thing. Except for Beetlejuice.
Yota!
It's a decent song. I mean, basically the Beetlejuice theme, and there is nothing to explain about the show, so they just have like a bunch of crazy shit happening.
Is a lot to explain because Ray is terribly confused.
Well,
again,
they changed like all the characters but two of them, and even then changed their relationship, and you're like, oh no, why don't you get this?
So you're under the impression that this cartoon for children is made for the same audience that film for adults was. That's what you're saying?
The kids watching this cartoon also saw the film. Yes. It's a PG film. Come on, audience. I know everybody out there is on my side on this. You can't just change that much. Without adding in a cute alien dog.
I take it back, Gina. Like, you apparently didn't have to work that hard to win me over because Ray is just like pushing me away from his side.
Yeah, I'm taking the Kamala and Trump route here, and I'm just letting Ray dig himself in.
Who's your running mate, Ray?
I picked the best running mate. He's very popular.
Uh-huh.
My running mate is Beetlejuice.
I mean, honestly, that would be great. You should have said James Gaffsey.
Ooh.
Oh no, nice. we don't mention that name on this show, Gina. You should know by now. Okay, so Beetlejuice is the central conceit of this episode, of this piece of the episode, is that Beetlejuice is worried he can't make scary faces anymore. He's worried that he's lost his edge. Okay, relatable. He's not scary. He needs to practice being gross. So he goes off to the nether. He lives in BJ's Roadhouse.
He calls it the Neither Realm, which I think is intentional, but I'm not entirely sure.
And yes. I mean, it assuredly is, but I'm not calling it.
It's intentional, and it was changed from the movie, again, because they changed a number of things to make it more suitable for children.
Right, right.
So it was changed from the afterlife, which was deemed sort of too frightening for kids.
That's not what I have a problem with. I have a problem with, it sounds like a mispronunciation of the Netherworld. And he's calling it Neither World, which could be a joke that, like, it is neither here nor there.
It is. But,
I don't trust them.
That's what it is. A lot of this show is just puns. So it's supposed to be, it's neither here nor there.
Okay. I will accept that then. BJ's Roadhouse took me a while to get. I didn't get it till the second segment. Because in my mind, the BJ's Roadhouse is like a fast casual chain restaurant. Or maybe not fast casual. No, the sit down casual, like BJ's, what is the name of
Texas Roadhouse?
Texas Roadhouse? Is that the name of the chain?
That's it.
What are you talking about? Like a Cracker Barrel or something?
Essentially, but for the West.
They're not in LA, I'll say that.
There was one in Bakersfield. It's like a steakhouse, and you know, like,
did I miss the part where Bakersfield is LA?
That's why I said that's how I came across it. So if it's in Bakersfield already, you gotta kind of cast a suspicious eye.
I ran into them in Pennsylvania. That's, you know, that's how they go.
Wow. Okay.
Amish country, Lancaster. And how about that?
The Amish and the Okies. That's where we come together. Is around the Roadhouse.
Oh, I married one of those.
Oh, there you go. It was so, like, it was weird to me. I was like, Amish, wait, I mean. Right? And then he had like roommates, and I was like, what the? And then eventually I was like, oh, BJ as in Beetlejuice. Still don't understand why it's a roadhouse. I guess he has like a boarding house for various critters and ghouls and what have you.
I just chose not to even worry about that part of it.
Yeah, they're like his like roommates. Like, again, it is supposed to be like a Pee-wee's Playhouse type of thing with all these different characters and stuff like that.
Yeah. All right.
Well, Lydia is going on a 24-hour gross out show, and it's time to go. They made a big deal about we need to practice this, and then we had like 1 second of practice, and then it's on to the show.
Well, I mean, there was a time jump.
She, well, don't tell me we need to spend time on it.
He overpracticed, and that is the problem.
Oh, that's always a problem. Never rehearse. That's what I say. How are you going to rehearse for your improv troupe? What's that about? You just make it up as you go. What's there to rehearse? Thank you.
Yeah, that's why you don't get invited back.
I truthfully haven't done improv in at least 10 years. And even then before that, it was probably 8 years before that.
No.
I mean, it's really showing on this here podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm really known for my quick wit. Oh, I see why I'm not being invited back now. Oh, no. Anyway, at this point, I just wrote. I could not feel less compelled by this show right now. There's really no stakes. I don't understand their relationship other than they're going on a game show together, and obviously they're fucking.
Being a dum-dum is not a reason to dislike a cartoon.
But what are the stakes? Why do I care? What is the show?
In this first segment,
why do I care about this?
That's my problem. You just said that you related to Beetlejuice not being able to get it up. I'm sorry. To not being able to make scary faces anymore.
No, I relate to both. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So like you have that going. The premise of being on a game show is fine, I guess. It's just a setup to
And it's a game show in the neither, not in the real world, because there's monsters, right? I'm not missing that.
Sure, sure. That, yeah, it's some sort of.
So they have television stations in the neither.
Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that?
Okay. No, I'm trying to understand what I can here.
I guess part of it for me is like, yeah, like the gross out shows, the slimes and whatnot, and like, it doesn't appeal to me because it's just really silly, gross out stuff. Like, they didn't even go for a nose picking. Like, if you want to get real, if you want to gross people out, like, let's see some noses. Let's dig into some butt cracks or squirt some pimples.
All things that you can't show on kids' cartoons, but go off.
You can't show a nose picking?
You can't show nose picking in a kids' cartoon made for kids below a certain age.
What?
And you can't show butt scratching.
You can't show scratching butts. Ren and Stimpy did it.
You can't show like for instance, when I was on regular show, we had a section where Muscle Man mooned someone underwear on, and they said his underwear must not have any tears, any stains. It must be brand new. So like you're just casually saying, why don't they do this, why don't they do that, while not understanding how kids cartoons work.
Well, then if you can't do it, then why set it up? Why have a gross out show that you can't actually gross out?
At some point he chugs an entire swimming pool worth of slime. If you're a kid, you're gonna be like, ew, that's so gross.
Of putrefied swamp mush or muck, swamp muck. Which
that's
is
funny.
Muck sucking was the name of it. Yeah,
I can't relate to that. Like swamp muck doesn't feel like sewer or like.
No, this is the problem. Chan is too much of a fuddy-duddy grump, and Ray is too ignorant, and that's why neither one of you like this cartoon.
I see.
This is possible. Absolutely outrageous. Now look, there's another like angle here, because apparently for the studio audience, they sight unseen hate Beetlejuice and Lydia and love the two slug champions.
In the intro, they did say that like fucking everybody hates this guy. It's Beetlejuice.
Yeah, because he pulls pranks in the neither world. Yeah, that's why they hate him.
But they cheer for him after like 5 seconds.
He wins them over like that, like fucking Rocky IV. Have you never seen a movie?
That's one of the worst endings in movie history.
Willfully being an idiot now. No, and I'm actively Rocky IV, getting
I will
angry.
Die on this hill. Rocky IV is one of the dumbest. Why would the people in Russia be cheering for Rocky? Have you been to a sporting event? You don't cheer for the other team when they beat your team, especially the Russian generals.
Name of Rocky IV, the best Rocky.
It's worse.
I am going to unplug.
No, 5 exists.
Wow.
No, here's the Russian generals who would literally be executed for applauding. Give him a standing ovation. They will be executed the second they leave the stage. There's no way they would act that way.
Do not pretend to know how geopolitics works.
It's unearned. It's terrible. Oh, I hate that scene. That scene made me mad when I saw it the first time. It makes me mad every time I think about it. It's so bad.
Have you done this on what's that other show?
Oh, Gutting the Sacred Cow?
Yeah.
I will now.
Well, there you go.
God, I hate that ending so much.
Save it for that show.
Look, the montage is great. There's a lot of stuff to love about that movie, but that ending kills it for me. When Ohio State beats Michigan, in the rare time it happens and I'm at the game, no one's cheering for Ohio at the end of that game. We're not happy. We leave unhappy. That's sports. I don't know.
The fact that either of you even remember the ending to that movie, don't.
Chan, that's iconic. How dare you?
All I remember is I Will Break You, and Dolph Lundgren is just coated, just slathered in Vaseline. And that's about the only thing I remember about
that. And steroids.
And steroids, sure.
It's a plot point of the movie. He roids up.
Oh, no, I just mean physically. I am seeing in my head Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, yeah.
Like shiny, like a thing that's real.
So many great moments. Whatever he punches, he destroys.
No, I don't remember that.
God, it was. Anyway, we start the game show. Henrietta and Humphrey Suzumoto.
Scuzzimoto.
Scuzzimoto. Like, I missed
Scuzzimoto, but Scuzzy.
Scuzzimoto. Yeah.
Variations, I like them. Scum and Scuzz. Sixth grade me would have been losing his mind.
Again. So, yes. That's what I'm
called everybody
saying.
A scumball or a scuzz bucket or a scuzzball.
I like these two because they feel like Midwestern slugs. I like them. They're my people.
Weird.
They get openly cheated. I thought game shows had rules. I don't understand what's happening here.
Market zero. We live in a world with rules. That's my Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And show later on this millennium.
Uh-huh. Big Lebowski holds up. It's a very interesting movie. Yes, it's a lot to say.
Synchronized slime swimming. I'm not. I don't care for that.
Slime swimming, and then, but it's slime swimming. But then they raise the platforms to being like 15 stories off the ground. I thought we were swimming. Now apparently we're diving and then swimming.
Mm.
Yes. I just be consistent, Beetlejuice. That's all I'm saying. Make sense. Just make a little sense.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
It's not even slime. It's a team diving event, and the champions really stink at it. I thought they were going to be good. They actually are terrible at this. And then Beetlejuice and Lydia, for their turn, just get knocked off the platform and just ragdoll into the slime.
Yep.
And then he spits slime out, and it goes off the charts, and they win.
Yeah, it seems pretty gross.
That
checks out.
I didn't. Which takes us to muck sucking, which we already talked about. Putrefied swamp muck. They have to drink it with it. And it's big. I'm talking like Olympic swimming pool, but like turned on its side, right? It's big. Yep. Mm-hmm. They got big old straws, and he wraps his mouth around that straw.
Oh, yeah. He's horking.
In a very compelling way.
Mm-hmm. He's, he's deep throating it. And it's
throaty shit. It's so upsetting.
It's supposed to be upsetting. It's supposed to gross you out.
How come that's allowed, Gina, in a kid's show? He's deep throating a dick.
Oh my God.
He ends up kicking the other team in the butt, and she falls in, and then he sucks her up, and then he gets sucked up into the straw, and then it all comes gooshing out. So I guess they had vomited putrefied swamp muck all over them, and that's a quasi legitimate gross out.
That was grosser than just Beetlejuice just drinking it.
Yes, and I did want to see the alien actually vomiting it, because I feel like that would have sold me on the actual grotesqueness of this.
I just wrote the other team wins, criteria unclear.
No, the criteria is whoever is grossest.
Yeah.
How are you not getting this?
What? That one's pretty obvious, I would have thought.
But, like, what are these events then? Shouldn't they just be gross? I'm having trouble.
Synchronized slime swimming, muck sucking. Seems pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Thankfully,
then there's
forward to 10 yes, rounds in.
10 rounds later. That's okay. Come on.
It's a 5-5 tie. That made me happy, actually. Minutes, I was worried I'd have to see more of this.
Yeah.
And of course, to pay off, and you know, give them credit, to pay off the beat they wrote at the beginning, making funny faces, of course, is the final event. The win is 2-person trip to the Geek Islands, which is that a joke?
I like that pun.
I guess. Again, a screen
vacation for two to the Geek Islands. I like those puns.
I would like the Geek Islands to have had people who are biting the heads off of chickens and then the blood like spreading all over
you.
The place. That would work for me.
It's the only thing I asked for.
It's not the only thing.
Scuzzimoto's got the faces. He's almost perfect in his score, but it leaves a little bit of room for improvement. And then Beetlejuice starts making his faces, and then Scuzzimoto just starts also making faces while Beetlejuice's turn is going on. And I look.
Oh my God!
I just want established. Is that so much? Man. I just want some rules that we follow.
So like when you watch a boxing match, you're like, okay, it's his turn to punch now. Okay, now it's the other guy's turn to punch. Oh, is he punching at the same time as the first person?
Wait a minute, no, but well, that's not how this is set up, because they say, okay, hey, it's your turn to go first, and then it is your turn to go. This would be like playing chess against a world champion, Dean Ippolito, and then taking like seven moves in a row, and he goes to grab his piece. You take seven more moves and checkmate him and go, nailed it. No, that's just not how the game works. I know enough about chess at least to say that.
Are you on your period? Is that what's happening? You are dumber and grumpier than usual tonight.
I had to coach my kids' soccer team tonight.
No, that makes sense.
But that being said, I'm in a great mood tonight. I just hate that you give me a game show, which literally has rules. You give me a universe, which is supposed to have rules, and you just don't establish or hold them at any given time. And I understand, Gina, yes, it is a kid's show. It is dumb. It is meant to be dumb, but I had nothing to sink my teeth into here. I had nothing to hook me in here. It was just a bunch of random shit happens, the end, and I don't care about that. I want stakes. I want to understand why this is important to someone. Is that asking too much of the Beetlejuice cartoon from the 90s?
Yes, because you don't understand it.
I believe I do understand it. They just don't care.
You've literally said five times, I don't understand this part. I don't understand that part. Right. I don't understand this part.
It's the choices that they make. The fact they, again, establish this on pre-established characters and then throw all of it out. Make a different show. Lydia has a plan to win because Beetlejuice is getting dominated, even though it's his turn and the other guy is going with his better faces, quite big, honestly.
We I don't get to. Yeah. The move is called the something something lung tosser. There was no lung tossing.
Not at all. And
that made me sad. It was.
We only get to see the back of his head while he makes the face, but that was an established Beetlejuice gag, so I'm fine with that. He wins with the face. What was the face? Her dad, Chris Griffin's normal face.
That is a good payoff. Yeah. Thank you, Jan. That's a good bit. They're so grossed out by his mourning face that he won.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good
bit. Didn't look that bad.
There's also a real Adrian and Rocky thing happening here. Mm-hmm. Harkening back to the Rocky talk. I guess Rocky won probably. You know, this is probably like the third or fourth best Rocky, but even still, I think it has many cultural touchstones that most people would recognize.
I watched Rocky 1 recently, and it is so good.
Are you sure? Sounds like you were a much bigger fan of Rocky 4.
Look, Rocky 3 is my favorite Rocky, and I will go on record 100%.
So Rocky 1 is at best third best Rocky to you.
Stop it. Stop it. You stop it.
You
now said, you're trying to set me off, and it's going to work.
Things that you have said.
This is like talking to my kid who's like, no, you said, no, I didn't.
No one said that but you. Your kid is clearly smarter than you.
No, that's understood.
I give your kid maybe two more years before she surpasses you in all knowledge.
Look, if I keep plummeting the way my brain is, like, yes, you're probably right. 2 years is probably liberal or conservative in this. Yes.
Centrist. You get it.
It's real RFK Jr. is what I'm trying to say. God bless it, RFK. Anyway, nope, not doing the tangent. Want to, won't. I hated this ending. It was so dumb. It was so unsatisfying. I did not care for this segment of television.
And I'm sure it also didn't care for you.
No, I guarantee the writers, as they were putting this together, to be like, oh, Ray's going to hate it when we break our own rules here. Click, 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 click.
And the writer of this episode, Buzz Dixon.
Look, I'm going to say right now, one of my most respected human beings on this planet is Buzz Dixon. If I found out that he had written this episode of Beetlejuice, plummeted. It would plummet my respect, because I know he's better than that. Gotta respect that man. We gotta have him back. Anyway, let's see if part two is better.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Bad scientist!
I've done it! It's dissect an alien! And it's
gross!
You take his insides out and put them back in!
Too gross!
Yuck!
That's disgusting!
He's a real slime bucket!
Yuck!
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
And we're back! Did you miss me?
Oh, wow. You absolutely are not going to remember to put that ad break in.
Nope. Seldom do, Chan. Seldom do. This is part two, Skeletons in the Closet. And I had less problems with this one.
Fewer problems. Thank you very much.
Dang.
Wait, doesn't that work Englishly? You.
No.
Let's go ahead and talk about how adorable the skunk is.
Yes, I love this skunk.
It is so cutie. Cute. Yeah, cutie I'm not booty. Fading that.
I totally would like also want to lie to my parents and keep the skunk.
Like, skunks make good pets, I hear, if you get them deodorized.
So
you can cut the smell gland out of their butts.
Jesus Christ. That is
not like you would do it. A vet would do it.
Yeah, you do. It is a thing, but you're not supposed to do it to them. It's like getting a cat declawed. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's.
Like, I get it, but you can't. I mean, if you're going to have a skunk as a pet, you can't have that in there.
Or you could, I don't know, not have a skunk as a pet. That's
Listen,
an option I've heard.
Chan, you know white people better than that.
This family does seem like the sort of family that would adopt a skunk.
Truth, yeah. And they blow dry and clean the skunk, and they say, oh, this skunk needs a new home. I'm like, that's not how skunks work.
It's a baby, though.
Just for the night, because there's like a storm.
Yeah, and because it's a baby.
It's a baby. Yeah, it was living in a tree outside their house, apparently, which is fine. I wrote, mom is right, this is dumb. Bad idea. Bad idea. They say, oh, what's that smell? Because they shove Beetlejuice and the skunk in the closet. Neither one the parents are supposed to know about. And they're smelling this rancid skunk smell. And they're like, what's that smell? And she goes, oh, I bought aftershave for dad and I'm trying it out.
Yeah, all right.
And they're like, oh, all right, that tracks. which did make me laugh, honestly. That was to me, that's very funny.
I mean, he said, I'm gonna grow a beard, which is a funny response.
You know what? Yeah, that was good too. 100% strong. She immediately rattles off the name Beetlejuice three times to make him take the skunk back with him to the Neither. It's revealed that he has what I referred to as a dresser of lies.
I mean, yeah, he's been lying throughout the episode, so this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a wardrobe with skeletons in his closet, but I just wrote dresser of lies, and now I look back on it, and I'm like, yeah, nailed it. High five me.
Honestly, it's more like a wardrobe of truth, because...
Yeah, fair, yeah.
The end goal there is...
This is where we meet Jacques the Skelly Man.
His full name is Jacques Laline, because he is a French skeleton bodybuilder.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Okay. That's a good pun.
Okay. Yeah.
Like that. Nice.
That's after, for the kids at home who would have no clue, that's Jack LaLanne, was a famous 1970s, like, fitness guru. He was a fitness TikToker of his time.
Through even, like, maybe the early 80s.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
And it's also funny because he's a skeleton and doesn't have any muscle, but he's constantly trying to build muscle. It's a good bit.
You do the high protein diet enough, you're gonna get that kind of lean look that he's got.
This dude was my favorite character on the show. He was excellent.
Yeah, he's great. He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's very funny. Ginger the spider then shows up and she does a little dance. Ginger the spider. And Lydia's like, hey, Beetlejuice, something strange is going on. I'm sorry. What, one sec, Chan, because Lydia commenting in the Neither that something strange is going on. Given everything we know about her life, Beetlejuice, the Neither, what constitutes strange exactly to the point where you feel the need to point it out?
I believe that was sort of the ironic point of her statement.
You think so? I felt genuineness from it.
I do need to know if Ginger the Spider hooks up with Fred Astaire, who in this context I believe would be a staircase.
Oh man. Yeah, but she walks all over him.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, she does have four left feet.
The hits keep coming.
Yeah. Well, I wish we could just end the episode right there.
I'll be honest, you made me so happy with that. Gene, anything you want to add to this bit riff?
Well, I wasn't paying attention.
There's when she shows up, Beetlejuice gives her some shit, Ginger. This is one of the things did not really work for me.
Oh, hi, Ginger.
Golly, gee whiz, love you, Skunk Lydia. I don't even mind the smell.
You've had 8 feet, smell wouldn't bother you either.
If you had 8 feet, the smell wouldn't bother you either.
It's not the best, but I get where he's coming from. He's saying like you're constantly smelling feet. You have most of your body is made up of the stinkiest body part.
But that is clearly not just stinkiest body part. I don't know if you've ever had an asshole
again.
Before.
Two little kids. It is trick or treat. Smell my feet. Little kids don't say trick or treat. Smell my taint.
She should have had little smell wines coming off her feet so that joke made sense.
No, it still I did not get the sense.
I did not get the sense that she had stinky feet. I think she took good care of her feet because she wants to be a dancer.
She's a dancer. All feet stink to little kids.
I think only children who have stinky feet parents have that problem.
I like, Chan, me and you got to write a kid's show where everything makes sense, rules are followed, and appropriate stench lines come from feet before we make feet jokes. Can we get on this?
I mean, I will say that I have problems with poorly constructed jokes. And I will not waver on that. And the fact that I happen to agree with Ray in this instance should not be taken as any kind of endorsement of his opinions and or lifestyle.
This is like that scene in Zootopia where they're just like, okay, all foxes are not criminals, but this one fox specifically happens to be a criminal, but we're not saying they all are. Understand that this is a parable for racism.
There we go.
And in this case, I'm the fox. Okay, so the neighbor, who is my second favorite character from this episode, who has a cowboy hat.
The monster across the street.
He looks like a, what was that, a Bugs Bunny villain who's like the 7 foot with all the red hair and just two eyeballs that stuck out. He reminded me of that guy.
Yeah, this is Len Carlson. The voice is Len Carlson. He also does his own dog in this.
Love it.
But yeah, he's been in stuff since the 60s. He was the OG Green Goblin in the 60s, and then he was also an X-Men. Another X-Men voice. He's been in tons of stuff.
Yeah, the voice acting I have no problem with in this. I thought there was a lot of good performances. This reminds me though, I have a confession to make. Sidebar. I tried to explain. There's graffiti art of Marvin the Martian on a building not far from my house. We were stopped at a red light. I turned to my kid and I go, "Hey, look, they some actual good graffiti. It's Marvin the Martian." She looks at me and goes, "Who's that?"
Well, that's a you problem.
Yeah. So it gets worse, Tina. Oh, it gets worse. I go, "Oh, he was the antagonist alien character from a bunch of Bugs Bunny cartoons back in the day." And she looks at me and goes, "Who's Bugs Bunny?"
But again, this is a failing of you.
Yeah.
Not like she can pick out what she wants to watch. Everything kids watch is picked out by their parents.
She watches YouTube only what she... I'm watching LankyBox and JJ and Mikey Minecraft videos on loop right now. She'll watch the same hour video 19 times.
But again, that is a you problem. That is the fault of you.
Turn on Max and just have her watching Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I need to show... Look, this show is 50% confessional of me, where I admit things I won't want to admit anywhere else because somehow this is safe.
It's because we have no listeners.
I mean, we have a decent number of listeners. It's not who would win numbers, people do listen.
They should really pile on you, I feel like, on all social medias, X, Threads, Blue Sky.
You guys, pile onto me on Twitter as much as you want to. I'm not there anymore.
Ray does not appreciate Looney Tunes and refuses to show it to his daughter.
I'm fixing it soon enough. This weekend, we're what? Okay, here's my question.
You waited until she's 7 before you started fixing anything.
Yeah, that's again, all faults of you.
Y'all, here's the deal. What Bugs Bunny cartoons should I pick out to show her that will win her over?
Oh, there's so many.
Yeah.
I mean,
name one. I need it. I'm worried about what's Opera Doc because she's not going to like that. She didn't like Fantasia because it wasn't fast enough. It was boring.
But this one, what's Opera Doc's a little bit shorter. So, and there's a lot of gags in it. So,
yeah.
The Rabbit of Seville is another good one.
Rabbit of Seville. That. Okay. Maybe I'll just show her some Marvin the Martian ones. Those are always good. Yeah.
You definitely want to spread it out and get all the good characters. Give everybody one. Give them the big dog with a little teeny cat.
Okay.
That's a good one.
And her elementary school is the Roadrunners, and the Roadrunner is the literal mascot for her. I've tried to explain these cartoons before.
You could just show them.
I can understand.
You were driving in the car at the time. You can't just pull them out.
I can understand why you trying to explain something to her, why she wouldn't like it. Also, anything with Bugs Bunny and Witch Hazel is great.
I love all the Halloween episodes.
Bugs Bunny and Witch Hazel.
The big red guy is Gossamer, by the way.
Yes, Gossamer.
That's fantastic. This is my confession. I need to do the thing.
This is my confession.
This episode's coming out in time for the movie. So this coming out this week as we record this. So I will take real time. Hit me up on Threads, please. Or Instagram, I guess. Or the Facebook group. That we do get notifications for that too. So that's great. But tag us, please.
I don't.
I do, but you got to tag me. Yeah, I need some Bugs Bunny cartoons. Throw me some links. I will be happily to show her them. I don't know where to start. Okay, because Beetlejuice walking in the door was shitty to this guy's dog. He was like, he turned into like the mail. He did like five bits. He turned into the mailman. He tried to scare him. Turned into a cat.
Yeah, he doesn't like the dog. Poopsie.
Riled him up for no good reason.
The dog is named Poopsie.
Poopsie. I have a hard time rooting
Beetlejuice aside here.
Yeah, Beetlejuice is just like the grumpy neighbor who pranks everyone because everything annoys him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Dennis the Menace, but I hate Dennis the Menace. That character could eat my balls.
No, if anything, he's not like the Dennis the Menace. He's like the Mr. Wilson. Everything makes him grumpy.
No, but if Mr. Wilson ran around being like pranking people, yeah, that would be Mr. Wilson. But Dennis the Menace is the one intentionally doing bad shit and then trying to duck the consequences of it. Maybe that's why I hate him. Own up your bullshit, Dennis the Menace. So he says, the neighbor comes with his wonderful Texas accent and he says, my dog is upset. Did you do it? And Beetlejuice lies and says, the mailman bit the dog. He's like, I'm going to go fuck up this mailman. Awesome. And that's great. That made me laugh. I was like, man, you took no convince. You trust Beetlejuice, the man who was booed an episode ago because everyone knows what a piece of shit he is. Anyway, the closet of the dresser of lies opens up and all these skeletons start floating out of it. And they tell the truth to one and all about Beetlejuice's lies. He has literal skeletons in his closet.
Which I think is fun because like kids probably don't understand the meaning of skeletons in the closet. And I love anything that's like, hey, this is kind of a smart thing that kids will just be like, oh, it's funny because skeletons are in the closet. But adults would be like, hell yeah, we all got skeletons in the closet. I just murdered a drifter the other day.
Oh, no. I mean, this honestly, again, for the second time in two halves of this episode, reminds me of an RFK story. But I won't say it. What a piece of shit that guy is. Anyway, go listen to 4-part Behind the Bastards. You'll hate him. They tell the truth to one and all. And what the messaging of this episode is, we have to stop our lies from getting out, but not stop the actual act of lying in our lives. That's the message.
That's what you took away from this?
They don't stop lying, and they have to tell, apparently the rules here, you tell one piece of truth to one person and every lie you've ever told goes away. Instantaneously. Even if you don't tell the person that the skeleton is going towards. Yes, that's the message I got, and it made me mad. Because consequences for terrible people would just be terrible. We don't want consequences for bad behavior. That would be a terrible lesson for the Beetlejuice show to tell.
This is very clearly a time saver because they don't have enough time to show him telling each person what the truth is.
Yeah. I wonder...
This episode brought to you by people who said, you can't prosecute him. He's the ex-president.
That's awful. This.
Do I know you?
Hello? Beetlejuice really likes you.
That is. A weird bit. In the middle of all of this,
I liked it because it's probably the thing that would bother Beetlejuice the most if it got out.
I honestly, here's the thing: this is something that is in the closet. It is now out of the closet, and it is that he has feelings that he has trouble expressing to his male roommate. I honestly. Kind of wonder if this wasn't low key.
It wasn't Chan,
a gay writer.
Hold up, let him cook.
Hide some stuff in here. I'm not saying that is a bad thing. I'm saying it's a good thing.
It's not that. It's just that it would bother Beetlejuice the most.
Oh, but so also, you're saying that Beetlejuice is a homophobe is what you're saying.
But also, I do like the bit of Jacques Lalanne is a skeleton and the skeleton knocks on his door and says this. And then Jacques Lalanne is like, wait, do I know you? Like, that's a funny bit.
That's good.
Yeah, it is.
So what I love is they portray it as this angry mob has shown up as all of Beetlejuice's lies have gotten out. And then they cut to the other side of the camera and it's two people and the dude's dog. Like, very few people have actually shown up to menace him.
I mean, they're mostly little white lies. So, you know, you wouldn't be like, sure, that guy shot on my lawn, but I'm not going to go all the way over there to fucking deal with him. Just like,
if somebody shit on my lawn, I would board a plane to another country to deal with him. That is outrageous.
I mean, I don't have a lawn, so I don't know what's something that would make people mad.
Fair enough. And then he tells one truth about Lydia, I think, and then all the lies to everybody goes away. And I'm like, that was redonkulously easy way to kill every skeleton. If he had just told one truth to somebody, all the lies in his closet would have gone away. Is this how untruthful I'm to believe that he is? I mean, yes, is the answer, but. And now Lydia has to tell the truth about the skunk. And what I didn't understand about this, they say, you have to tell your parents the truth about the skunk. And then the lie balloon skeleton comes up to her parents. Is it about to spoil it when it gets popped? But she doesn't tell her parents about the skunk. Who did she tell to make the skeleton go away?
I don't
Gina,
understand
come on.
That
Just
either.
Give me rules.
I thought we clearly see the skeleton go up to the parents and say Lydia lied to her parents.
And then it poop disappears, but it doesn't say what she lied about. So it seems like she told some sort of truth just in the nick of time, which suggests that she has other lies.
Well, of course she does. She's a teenage girl, but I mean, keep it real.
Damn, that's sexist and ageist.
Teenage boys have more lies, though, for the record, Gina. I'm gonna promise you that, too.
Being more sexist and ageist isn't helping.
Yeah, just reverse misogyny.
Guys, teenagers lie all the time. That's part of the deal. Regardless of gender or lack of gender.
I mean, my kid just came in today and told us that a kid came up to him, called him a bitch, tried to jam his hands into his mouth, and then he mimed, like, taking both hands and sort of like jamming them in between his teeth to like yank open his mouth and pull it apart like a saw trap or something. And then said he kicked him 3 times in the balls. And then the teacher sent him to the principal who kicked him out of school.
Wow. That's a hard day.
So Yeah, it seems really tough for him there at that school. I know that my child obviously wouldn't lie to me.
No, listen, I consider this show a confessional for me. Maybe that's why he keeps coming out to interrupt the show when we start. He wants to confess all of the terrible things at this apparently monster school you send him to.
Yeah. It's pretty terrible there.
You know, this is a crime. Now that I think about it,
I mean, kicked 3 times in the balls. It's once you're like, whoop, that was an accident. 2, you're definitely aiming. 3, that's honestly on him because he should have seen after the first 2, the 3rd one was coming and, you know, moved.
You know, really, first 2 bit. Kicks in the balls, I get it. 3rd one, like, dude, come on, you want to get kicked in the balls at that point.
Kick me twice, shame on you. Kick me in the balls a 3rd time, shame on me.
And then when the skeleton goes away, that's just the end of the episode. So the parents never find out about the skunk.
She releases the skunk back to its parents.
I mean, whatever. Who cares? The skunk storyline is
Don't you talk trash about that cute ass skunk.
It's adorable. And at this point, it becomes irrelevant in the story.
I did not get a positive, happy vibe from this. I did not walk away pleased having seen this, but like technically, there wasn't that much wrong with it. And there were some solid jokes. So, I mean, I don't know where to fall on this.
Sounds like you got to watch more.
That doesn't sound like it at all.
Guys, welcome to the Beetlejuice podcast. Knowing is half the juice. We're only watching Beetlejuice for the next season.
Let Chan come up with the titles.
I just wrote here, I hated this. I remember thinking generally well of the first time we watched this too. Now, that was a season two episode. I looked it up. And maybe they got their footing a little better. This is season one, episode two. So this is early on.
This is Gina trying to deep six us and, you know, like give us the crappiest.
I'm not going to lie. I might watch the rest of this.
Oh my God. New rock stars, vid incoming.
All right.
Gina's going to find a way to get paid to watch this for work.
Damn straight.
I mean, look, I'm jealous. That's what I'm trying to say. Great job. Look, I play video games for money and I'm jealous of you.
Some of us are hustlers and some of us hate Beetlejuice. So,
man, I don't know where to take it from there. Look, Beetlejuice, Huckster the cartoon. Squirrel. I absolutely despise these two episodes. Gina makes excuses for these two episodes and claims to love them. But I think that all of a sudden an inflatable skeleton is going to appear to me at night being like, Gina lies.
My skeletons are not bothering with you, sir.
I mean, to be fair, what are you gonna lie to me about?
Jesus.
The things you've admitted to on this show that we've all admitted to on this show would get each of us ostracized from a real polite society and likely in jail.
I can't imagine that Gina's lied to you about a single thing, like to protect your feelings.
No. Sure. She said she liked Reclaim Detroit, and I will just chalk that up.
You know what? Wow. I guess we do have to take a look in your closet, Gina.
It's all he has, Chan.
Oh, my God. I'm dying. So, Chan, you have to cast the deciding vote.
Mm-hmm.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Episode 1, Season 2.
Yeah.
Is it a hit or a miss?
Honestly, yeah. I would have to say, taking it all into account, taking the good stuff and the bad stuff, I'm going to say that
hey, you. No. Don't look over here. Keep your eyes on the road. Got something for you. Take a listen to this.
In the newest Pokemon, they have Score Bunny, which is a starter.
What?
Yes.
Score Bunny?
So it's a fire bunny that plays soccer. He kicks balls.
He scores. Great.
Score, like Scorch, I think. Yeah. Oh, I get it. Like goal. Like Score Bunny.
Rad.
There's Score Bunny, who uses his mad soccer skills to steal, I think, like donuts or something like that.
How does he use his soccer skills to steal donuts?
He kicks it.
Oh, yummy.
The best part is, though, Score Bunny wants to go and follow Ash and go on big adventures. But
oh my
Ash
god,
is like,
Ash is still the main character of the anime?
Yes, where have you been? Yeah, so Ash is like, I'm getting on the train. I'm leaving, Score Bunny. And Score Bunny's
is it
like,
because he's 80 years old? That's why he sounds like that? Nothing makes donuts taste better than a foot coming in contact with them.
If you like what you heard and love co-op with your friends, check out Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast. That's Gaming Together, a cooperative podcast.